And I don't mind learning from you too. Their bliss-bestowing hands can receive, and not just from monks, from anyone. There's some lovely stories about old Harquin. Harquin in later years, of course, he was a real seasoned bull, a real old tiger. And he didn't mind learning from the young steers and the little cubs. And one of Harquin's first disciples, in fact, was a 15-year-old girl named Satsu. And Satsu was having trouble getting a suitable husband. Apparently, she was a bit plain. So her parents suggested, you know, they married young in those days, so her parents suggested that she pray to Kanon, the Bodhisattva Avalokiteshvara. And one day her father came home and saw her sitting on the Kanon Sutra. Sutra, the Avalokiteshvara Sutra, just sitting on it, on the book. You know, absolutely terribly shocking in Buddhist culture. You never put a scripture on the floor. To sit on it, it's appalling, sacrilege. And her father was horrified. He said, "What are you doing sitting on a holy book? It's terrible." And she said, "Well, what's the matter?" That Harquin says everything has Buddha nature. So how can there be a difference between my rear end and a holy book? What's the difference between my bum and a holy book if it's all Buddha nature? And her father, oh gosh, you know, he was out of his mind. So he went to Harquin, who smiled at the story, and he said, Your daughter's sharp. He was quite pleased. He said, "Give her this koan to meditate on from me. Tell her this. In the night's darkness, if you can hear the voice of the crow that does not cry, the unborn future will be clear, and you can understand your father's love." So father went home, told the koan to his daughter, and Satsu just wasn't impressed. He said, "What's so clever about that? What's so clever about him? Harquin isn't as clever as me, you know, he's the old fool." So she was a real handful. And one day she went to Harquin to ask him to elucidate a difficult point. And as soon as Harquin began to speak and explain, you can imagine, she went in and she asked, "Venerable Master, you know, please, you know, give us me this teaching and this." And Harquin was about to speak and she said, "Thank you," and just left. And Harquin was completely astonished. He didn't mind in the slightest. She was a girl with real spirit who really wanted to practice. And she was a staunch disciple of Harquin. And you know, eventually she did get married and all the rest of it. And it was a great Zen granny in the end. And imagine that, a Zen granny. Woo! That's even more frightening. In fact, Harquin's later life is full of stories like this, encounters with all kinds of people. And what's impressive is his natural dignity, his openness to whoever he meets. Completely open, wonderful human quality to it all. Harquin was also a poet and especially a great calligrapher and painter. He did some very large paintings of Bodhidharma and calligraphies of various sayings and beautiful self-portraits. Some where he looks very fierce, but there's one I particularly like. It's been sort of coming up in meditation as a very, you know, a real inspiration for sitting. And it's his face and the top of his body, and you can see his hands in meditation. And it's very simple, kind of cartoon-like. But there's a real feeling of meditation, of absorption. But it's light and playful. He looks like an old man, but like a child as well. A beautiful simplicity. And it's sort of given me quite a different feel about what goes on in meditation. Very intimate painting. This is even just in a small reproduction. I bet the original's fantastic. So there's this creative activity in the masters. They get close to. They become intimate with life. They're intimate with themselves. And it can, in some cases, turn into art and poetry, great art and great poetry.